Hey everybody, welcome to Uncomplicated Truth Talk with your host, licensed Christian counselors, Dr. Kim and Naomi. Each episode, you will hear the truth of the Word of God in a relaxed, real, and authentic conversation that help you navigate the issues in life and help you stay in the lane God has for you. So grab your coffee and listen to Uncomplicated Truth Talk with Dr. Kim and Naomi.
Hey, Nay.
Hey, how's it going?
Look at us.
Yeah.
Here we are.
I know. I had a really good quiet time, and I'm still in Galatians.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought
Galatians.
Yeah, because I, like, when God gives me a book, I don't go and read the whole, you know, thing. I really am slow about it. Like, I think how I'm doing that is, like, he'll say Galatians, but every time I sit down with him, I wait for him to even direct me. Because, like, this morning, I was going to study for Acts, and he said go to Galatians first. Mm. So I went back to Galatians, where I left off,
because
I'll just read as far as I feel like I need to go.
Yeah.
You know? And I was in Galatians 4, I believe.
4:8.
Yes, starting verse 8. And I just kind of, like I said, go as far as, I think I finished all the way to 5 this time. But sometimes I'll only read like a couple verses if it's really meaty.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really good. And I love even the title of it. Our Bible says, Fears for the Church.
Yeah. Should we just read?
Yeah, I guess so.
How far we want to read?
I don't know.
Let's at least read to 16. Or should we go to
20?
Yeah, to 20.
Yeah, let's do that. Oh, and then I got into verse 21. It was talking about the two covenants.
Yes.
Which is symbolic of Haggai, is that her name? Hagar and Sarah.
Hagar.
When they had the children. Mm-hmm. And there was such a huge, like, little revelation in it of what the symbolism of it is and how it kind of goes in line with bondage and stuff. But yeah.
Well, talk about it, but it's going to talk about the symbolism of Isaac and Ishmael and Cain and Abel.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
So let's go through 20, see how we're doing on time,
okay.
And then we might finish the
have
rest.
Have to do another
see how
one.
We do, yeah.
Okay, I'll start reading it.
Yes.
Galatians 4:8, it says, But then, indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? That's huge, right?
Yeah.
Verse 10 says, You observe days and months and seasons and years. I am afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. Brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmity, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus Christ. What then was the blessing you enjoyed? For I bear you witness that, if possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. And I love verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them, but it is good to be zealous in good things always, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, for whom I labor in birth again until Christ is formed in you, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you.
There's a lot in that.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
A lot of little, like, life lessons.
Great nuggets.
So, like, going back to verse 8, he's talking of, he's reminding them of where they were. Mm-hmm. Like when you didn't know God, you were serving these little gods, which didn't give you anything.
Well, the notes say that Paul declares that going back into legalism would be no better than going back into pagan worship.
Right. But he's saying, but now, after you've known God, rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? He's like,
why are you going back to bondage? Like we were talking about in the last podcast about the chains.
Yeah.
I mean, why go back there?
Yeah, he's, and when I was reading it, I was, and to me, it helps me when I read out loud to hear it, but I could really hear and feel Paul's utter concern. Like he was
anguish.
Like he was very troubled.
Yeah.
Very troubled.
Yeah.
And I love how he goes into pointing out later his character, how they totally forgot. But like, just hitting on this before we move on, he's saying, look, he's pointing out to them, you know God.
Yeah.
Like, you know him.
Absolutely.
So think about your
own
life.
And he's known you.
Yeah. Like, so that means you've experienced God.
Oh, experience God.
But here's the thing in our flesh, okay? We experience God. Life gets in the way. You kind of get out of your habits of seeking God. Mm-hmm. It's natural. This is why you cannot trust your flesh, which we pointed out last time.
Right.
You have to stick to the things that keep you in the Word and keep you close to God, because your flesh will then be like, it would naturally go back
to old habits.
Other things. Yeah, and this is why I pound in that you record your God moments.
Don't forget those.
If you don't forget those, then mm-mm. you will continue to mm-hmm. seek for more of them. And when you start mm-hmm. to have those doubts, or some of your good habits are changing, or you get in a storm and you're like, where's God? Go back and read your God moments and be like, oh,
there he is.
Shoot, he's been with me this whole time.
Yeah, exactly. Just like I sent you and our good friend a message about how Holy Spirit had revealed something to me.
Yeah.
Something that was sitting right in front of my face.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he revealed this how many years later? I mean,
I know. It's amazing. You can share it? They're wondering why.
Well, I can share it. Okay. Because some of the girls listen on here, I suppose. But here's this God moment real quickly, is that, you know, when I was 18 and trying to figure out what in the world to do with my life, I really wanted to go to hair school. Mm-hmm. And I just really wanted to do it. My mom was not okay with it. Okay, I don't know why, but she just wasn't okay. But she took me to tour a couple of schools, mm-hmm. okay? And so that was 18, came out of the one school. I was excited. She wasn't. I was heartbroken because I just wanted her to be excited for me. Mm-hmm. And my life went a completely different way. I didn't go to hair school. Mm-hmm. And here we are.
Yeah.
So here we are. And a client comes into my office. And I don't think she would mind me saying this, but I see her in her uniform. And Holy Spirit hit me like a ball and chain because she had on the uniform of where I went to tour that school. So I'm just going to give a shout out to the girls at the Grabber Hair School, because that's where I went and I toured. And right then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, Kim, I never wanted you to go there. That's not where I wanted you. I have you in the place that I called you to help people from there. So it just hit me. Yeah. I mean, Holy Spirit was like giving me such, after all these years,
yeah,
I mean,
right.
Come on y'all, I'm 57. That happened back when I was 18.
Wow.
So that's like, you know, and then I shared with you and our other friend that God is such a redeemer. Mm-hmm. I mean, he redeemed my life in so many ways. But those are moments you have to journal
it. Yeah.
You have to record it. And then as long as you record it, now it's being passed down where others can see how good God has been, where it may look like despair in the moment, but he's going to redeem that, which, I mean, I could talk on redemption forever, but, you know, my life verse is Isaiah 43, 1 through 7, and he says, I know you by name, you're mine, I have redeemed you. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, God, you are so good to me.
I know.
So faithful.
He is.
I mean, is. After all these years, who would have thunk it?
Right.
As I'm staring at my client's, you know, name tag that says Grabber School, and I'm like, Lord, you are something else.
Right.
So you got to record it.
Yeah, for sure. And think about your own life. It may not be that you're going back to some legalism, but are you going backwards in some other area of your life?
Yeah.
Are you going back to the chains and bondage when you had tasted freedom before?
Yeah, why do you want to do that?
So, and if you haven't recognized, and this is you're hearing this and you're realizing that you're doing that, because sometimes you don't know that you're in something, you know? Or sometimes you're like, how did I get here?
Right.
Stop and ask the Lord and reflect, what has caused me to go backwards and I didn't even realize that I am?
Right.
So really take a second and think about that, because that's huge. And you don't want to go backwards. I think we mentioned last podcast, don't live in the past.
No.
So let's go on.
Okay.
Let's see.
We were
on 9. Yeah. 10 says, you observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain.
Mm.
He's like, brethren, I urge you to become like me, for I became like you. You have not injured me at all. You know that because of physical infirmities, I preached the gospel to you at the first. And my trial, which was in my flesh, you did not despise or reject, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. So what Paul's pointing out is that you guys entrusted me of a time in your life. Like he goes on to say, you would have given me your eyes.
Yeah.
You took me in. You received me.
Right.
Like Christ did.
Right.
So he's like, so why are you treating me like your enemy now? Because I'm coming back and telling you truth, and I'm warning you, and I'm saying, hey, don't go backwards. Why are you now treating me like your enemy?
That's why I love verse 16. Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Have you guys been sharing God's word and people get uptight and bent out of shape because you're sharing truth, or you give them truth about themselves?
Mm-hmm.
And then they get bent out of shape, but
offended, defensive.
Or are you that person? Are you getting offended because somebody has shared truth with you?
Yeah.
We can't be those people.
Right.
I mean, the word says in how many places about not taking offense?
Right, because those behaviors you're displaying will put you back in bondage, even if you don't want to go to bondage.
It'll put you back exactly what Paul is saying here. Mm-hmm. Like, have you not known God and really what he has done for you? So now, because you're offended because somebody actually told you truth.
Yeah.
I mean, how many parents out there, oh my goodness, how many parents get all ruffled up when somebody comes to them and says, hey, listen, I think you should know this, but your kid did so-and-so.
Yeah.
Or the school calls you and says, your kid picked a fight with someone, or your kid did this. Like, do you instantly bristle up?
Right.
And think, oh, not my kid.
Uh-huh.
My kid's churched.
Right.
Listen, yeah, your kid.
Yeah.
So are you getting offended because somebody is telling you truth?
Right.
We got to seek truth. Always. Always. It has to be in the forefront of your minds.
Then you're allowing to be deceived and
back in bondage.
To believe something else that's not truth.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And check it out for yourself.
No kidding.
Before you get all defensive and upset, like, let me see if this really is truth.
Right.
But what I loved about Paul is you can tell he loved these people so much, because in 19, he's saying, my little children, like, he changed his tone a little bit.
He did.
For whom I labor in birth again. So he's saying, I labored for you. I worked for you. I seeked after you again until Christ. So he's saying, I will labor again. I'll labor again until Christ is formed in you. Mm-hmm. So he repeats the gospel and the love and investing his time.
Right.
Because he's saying, I would like to be present with you now and change my tone because I have doubts about you. He's like, I would like to change my thoughts.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to change my tone and maybe my approach with you this time. He goes, because I have doubts.
I'm not so sure about you guys.
Right. But I wrote in my Bible, like when he was explaining in 14 through 16, that they forgot Paul's character.
They sure did.
And his story.
Yeah.
They forgot his character.
They forgot who he was. Story.
Yeah. Because if you know somebody's character like this, they are loving, they love me, I have a relationship with them, they care about me, they've been through thick and thin with me. But and then they come to you and say something that might rub you a little wrong, don't go off your feelings.
Sure.
Remember the character and the testimony of the person. Like, more than likely, they're not coming at you in a vindictive or a way to harm you.
I remember back years and years ago, I came to a sister in Christ because we would have these get-togethers, and for some reason, the sister in Christ decided to share with the group, and there was a pattern of this, okay? But she would share personal information between her and her husband. And I'm like, okay, nobody needs to hear that.
In the group.
Oh. That just needed to be kept between her and her husband.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And she would also just use the most foul language in the group. And it was in my home.
Yikes.
Yeah. And so after about the third time, I asked this woman if she would meet me for lunch. Mm-hmm. And I prayed about it. I prayed what the Lord wanted me to do, to present softly to her, like... Mm-hmm. You know, this probably isn't good, and especially you're in my home, and my family's there when you all are there, and it's just not good. Let me tell you what, she took complete offense.
Oh.
Complete offense, and I lost friends over it.
Yeah, oof.
That was hard.
Yeah.
Because I knew I did what the Lord wanted me to do.
Yeah.
And I had to do it for my family, my household.
Right.
For the other people, because other people were going to leave. They had come to me and said, we don't like that, and I can't come back to your house if that's allowed.
Right.
Okay, well, that doesn't make me feel good, because I want my house to be, you know, a house of safety, and people feel warm and invited. And
right.
Yeah. But she took some major offense to that.
Wow.
And from that day, I've not talked to her.
I mean, some people just don't like to be corrected.
They don't. They
like
do
they
not.
They have the spirit of rebellion, and they don't want to hear it, no matter if it is truth, no matter who it's coming from.
Yep.
And that's a dangerous way to live.
Yeah, if you're not teachable, come on, people.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to fix that character flaw.
Because none of us are perfect.
We're not.
We all have to have correction.
Absolutely.
Every single one of us.
Absolutely.
And I know the word says to welcome correction, and the Lord will correct those he loves.
Absolutely. And you know what? I would rather be corrected by a friend than the Holy Spirit, actually. Seriously. I would rather be corrected by a friend than the Holy Spirit, because I don't know how Holy Spirit corrects you, but I'm in it for 3 days.
Really?
Yes, I'm in it where...
No, I don't feel that.
Yeah, I'm in it for
I'm
3 days
opposite.
With the Holy Spirit.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Are you putting yourself into condemnation? You have to pull yourself right out of
yes.
it? Don't do that.
I know, but I think there's part of that, but I just feel so sorrowful that I hurt the Holy Spirit.
That's okay, but you don't want to slip into like...
No, I don't want to slip into like a dark depression or anything.
Shame and condemnation.
No, but it's because I feel so bad that, you know, Holy Spirit had to correct me that I shouldn't have done that. Whatever it is. I don't know what it is.
But...
So I try.
You're gonna do those things.
I know we're gonna make mistakes.
You're gonna do
I
that.
I know this, but I don't like doing it.
Well, of course. But don't think that you're not.
Oh no, I believe me, sis.
Okay.
I don't
okay,
think
maybe
that I'm
we
not.
Need to stop this so that we can have a session, counseling session here real quick.
That's so funny.
Maybe we should pause.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. That's funny, but yeah. No, yeah. I mean I do I say funny things. Like, if I get convicted, I'm like, oh, okay, you're right, Lord. I know. Like, why do I have to say you're right?
Why?
It's so funny because I'm like, okay, I know God.
You're telling Holy Spirit they're right.
You're right, you're right. He's right. I know, you're right, I'm wrong. I know. Okay, I'll fix it.
Oh, my gosh, Amy.
I know, it's funny.
Okay, well, listen, I think we're going to just have to stop where we are.
Yeah, we might have to come back to Galatians 4, verse 21 through 30.
We got to talk about the two covenants. I think that is super cool.
Yeah, it is. And it's a good little nugget.
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
all
I guess
right.
We'll end here and we'll see you guys next time.
All righty.
All righty.
Bye bye.
Thank you for joining Dr. Kim and Naomi on Uncomplicated Truth Talk. We hope you have enjoyed this episode. For any comments or questions, please feel free to contact them at askthecounselors@gmail.com. Until next time, this is Uncomplicated Truth Talk.